It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
It used to be so easy when he was a sitting congressman. Wasn't as fun as he's, you know, having that much, spit it out, Ray. He's having a lot more fun now not being a sitting congressman. What's wrong with my mouth, congressman? Jeez. I haven't talked to Devin in a month and I forget how to talk. It's amazing. Devin Nunes joins us as a civilian, so to speak. Of course, he's operating Truth Social for The Man Who Would Be King Part 2. That happens to be Donald Trump. But there's so much going on with old names. Eric Swalwell, Schiff, you know, our friend Kevin is now the speaker. He's making some changes. There's just a lot of stuff that Devin was involved with, and I'm certain that he's got an opinion for us now. In other words, I'm going to let you talk because I'm not doing a good job of it. How have you been, my friend? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Right. It's great to be with you. And this is a surprise to be on a Monday of all things. It's usually Friday. So
I know. Well, we tried to get you for last Friday, but you were busy. So changing it up just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I was traveling. So, you know, I couldn't make it. But it's great to be with you. And, of course, the just great KMJ audience. I always speak when I'm on here just to so many old friends. And whenever I'm in the Valley,
yeah.
I mean, even when I'm on the Central Coast, people always come up and tell me, oh, I just heard you on Ray's show. So well, always fun to hear from people.
Yeah, it used to be so often when you were, you know, active in the Congress, but now it's about once a month or so. But there's so much going on. I had to drag you back, especially now. You know, Kevin has taken over the speaker's chair. He's still a good friend of yours, I'm sure. He gets rid of Adam Schiff. He gets rid of Eric Swalwell. And they're screaming, you know, how dare you do that? You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. He did. Talk to me about those two characters. I know you don't have any love for Mr. Schiff. He took your job.
Well, I was actually in Washington, D.C. last week. Kevin McCarthy and the whole team was going. They asked me to come in and talk about some of our old investigation that we ran, the Russia hoax, which, you know, is still kind of continuing to this day. And then just advise on some of the investigations as they move forward, as they begin to try to unravel all this corruption that's at the Department of Justice. So it was good to be back to see a lot of old friends. I can't say that I enjoy Washington, D.C. that much, but it was good to see some old friends, of course. And I just happened to be there last week when McCarthy was moving forward with his promise to get rid of Swalwell and Schiff from the Intelligence Committee. And, you know, from my perspective, it was, you know, pretty easy decision. And that is that, you know, you had these, and look, they were all bad, all of the Democrats on that committee, but these two in particular were the worst. And, you know, they committed what I think is the worst of all worlds, where they would, because they had access to classified information, they would go out from briefings and then tell people that they had seen things that didn't exist. And then who was going to be able to fact check them, right? We would go out and say, we don't know what they're talking about, me and the other Republicans. But they would say, oh, no, we've seen it. And, oh, they're lying. These Republicans are lying. They must be tied to Putin and Russia. I mean, and you know the damage that this did over the years.
A lot.
You know, and the danger that it put, you know, me in, my family in, and there's still not, I mean, I still get this, Ray. I mean, even last week, I had some lunatic, accusing me of cozying up to Vladimir Putin. I mean, these are sick people, but they've been poisoned by these guys who claimed that they were seeing classified information that would tie Trump and Republicans to Russia.
Well, I'll tell you one thing go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I just going to say, these guys do not belong anywhere near classified information. And I've also said this, that anyone who was involved in the Russia hoax at any level, including the 51 former intelligence and military officials who said that the Hunter Biden laptop Trump-Biden election 2020, that was Russian disinformation. None of those people should be anywhere near classified information ever again, or any government job for that matter. Now, as it relates to Schiff and Swalwell, these are guys that are elected by their constituents. And so, you know, the constituents vote for them. That's how it works. But for all these other characters that were involved in the Russia hoax at any level, they shouldn't be anywhere near this information.
It's scary stuff, especially when you consider Swalwell's like sleeping with a Chinese spy. But it's even unusual now because the handwriting seems to be on the wall, even with groups like CNN. You know, Adam Schiff was on CNN and talking about how he was booted from the Intel Committee, faced all this scrutiny during an interview yesterday over the past examples of him allegedly lying and politicizing intelligence information for partisan gain. This is stuff you don't normally hear on CNN, but there he is, and they're letting him have it. This was when Dana Bash was asking questions about, you know, losing the spot on the committee, and she takes it back to, you know, the collusion with Russia. You said there was direct evidence of the fact that Donald Trump colluded with Russia back in 2016. Special Counsel Robert Mueller said in his report, quote, "The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government." Yet, you know, he was still able to go on his merry little way for a long, long time. And finally, it took Kevin to get rid of him and pull him off that campaign. Excuse me, that chairmanship. But the fact that CNN now is jumping all over him, I don't know if it's Bob Dylan singing "The Times Are A-Changin'," but something's going on. They don't like him. And they caught him on a lie. Many lies.
Well, let me translate it for you. Here's what's actually going on. This is why you have me on the show, Ray. I have to.
Of course.
This isn't because CNN has now turned a new leaf.
No, it's okay, not CNN. It's called CYA, but go ahead.
Well, it's actually even better than that. Here's what's really going on. So Schiff got kicked off the Intelligence Committee. He's tried to get appointed to, you know, as Attorney General of California in the past. And he's out of options. I mean, the guy doesn't have anything to do in Washington. He's, you know, I think when you get the Democrats alone, the ones that will actually be honest with you, they don't like Schiff. And they know what he did was wrong. But, of course, none of them can come out and say, yeah, because it would incriminate their whole party if they came out and said, yeah, what Schiff and the Clinton campaign and the DNC were all doing was wrong and corrupt. They're never going to say that. But privately, they'll tell you they have no love for Schiff because, yeah, you know, he got them. He took what the Clinton campaign and the DNC did and what the FBI and DOJ were doing, and he put it on steroids. So here's what's happening, though. So he announced for the Senate because he has nowhere else to go.
Dianne Feinstein's chair, yeah.
Yeah, so I announced that last night I was on with Trey, my old buddy Trey Gowdy on Fox News, and I said that, you know, Schiff was down to either running for the Senate or opening up an OnlyFans account. And I think he opted at least at this point to try to run for Senate. And so for the listeners who don't know what OnlyFans is, it's basically a kind of a place where you promote yourself and maybe a little lewd, maybe, possibly. I'm not a user of OnlyFans, but it's I think fairly popular, popularly known as a place that people go to do some odd activity.
Jeez.
But anyway, we won't get into that. But so look, he has nowhere else to go but to run for Senate. So now what's happening though is that there are probably a dozen prominent Democrats in California that have been waiting for that Senate seat to open. So, and you know, Feinstein actually hasn't even said that she's retiring. I think a lot of people are concerned, you know, about whether or not she can, you know, maintain the rest of, you know, for the next 2 years because her health has, you know, really deteriorated. But there's a dozen people that want to run. So now what it is now the left, including CNN, they have to decide who do they want in that seat. And I can tell you they don't want Schiff. So what you're going to start to see is there were even some left-wing groups that came out the next day after Schiff announced and said that, you know, he needed to be looked at for ethics violations, et cetera, et cetera.
It's the same group that said he wasn't progressive enough.
Yeah.
They're supporting Katie Porter instead of him.
Exactly. So there's a fight. Porter is a relatively new congresswoman from Orange County. But this is just the beginning. There's going to be other congressmen. I guess there's going to be other probably sitting statewide officials that are at that, you know, that are below the governor. I mean, heck, you could even have Newsom may want to do it, depending on whether or not I know he wants to run for president. But you know, there's a whole host of people out there that could run, that want to run for Senate. So Schiff, it's not as easy as just attacking me and Republicans and Donald Trump. Now he's got this inner party fight in the Democratic Party. And if you remember, you know, the Democratic Party now is they play identity politics,
big time.
And so they, you know, they want, you know, one of the, you know, a woman or a LGBTQ, green, brown, black, whatever. And, you know, Newsom already said that if Feinstein was to retire early, that he would be appointing some type of minority. So there's a whole bunch of the groups there that are not going to want Adam Schiff. And he's going to be a victim of what he used to gain power. He wrote on the backs of all of these kind of this identity politics stuff. But sorry, dude, you're a white, you know, straight Jewish guy from Hollywood. You don't fit the bill.
And what's Swalwell going to do? Not much he can do either, really.
Well, Swalwell may be going to OnlyFans. I don't know.
Anything is possible.
Go, Ray.
Let me take a break here.
Have anywhere else to go.
And we'll continue with Devin Nunes on KMJ. There's so much to talk about with what's happening with this new Congress, for example. Things going on at the border. That Energy Department statement last week that closing Keystone was a huge mistake. That one still has my head twirling all over the place. And we got more with me, you, Devin, on KMJ. Stay there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton. Now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It has been a while since we talked to this guy. Used to be at least once a month when he was a sitting congressman. Then during the pandemic, it was once a week. Devin Nunes was really doing his job and super serving his constituents during those ugly times. But, you know, coming to present day, he's on the private side. And you know, maybe he can loosen up a little bit and say whatever he wants to now. Sort of, kind of. We hope. But the statement, Devin, made by the Energy Department last week, closing down Keystone, huge mistake. They went through chapter and verse all of the economic gains that we're not getting because of this big mistake made by the Biden administration. It was kind of shocking to hear this. It has not been a major news story. I haven't heard it anywhere else, but they did. They said this was a huge blunder and set into motion everything that we're suffering right now. And I believe it. Do you?
Yeah. Look, this is the Democratic Party is controlled by the radical green agenda. And, you know, no one knows that better than us here in the San Joaquin Valley, right? I mean, look, just last week, I saw a number that, 13 million acre feet went out in the course of a few weeks from all these storms.
Right.
So and I bet it's even higher than that now. So I'm sure there's somebody out there that knows the exact numbers. But, you know, that's enough water for the Central Valley, you know, Central Southern San Joaquin Valley for a few years, you know. And so the same is true on the energy front. What they started here in the Valley, you know, we were kind of the, I don't know if you want to say the canary in the coal mine or we were the ones they tested first on how to build a narrative, a fake narrative, based on, oh, we just want to keep the environment, we want to protect species, et cetera, to, you know, basically, no, what they really want to do is just put farms out of business and control the water supply and make something scarce so they can have political control. And the same thing is true with the oil and gas industry. And so the best way to do that is if you stop, pipelines have been really hard to get approved and built for now, you know, some three decades. And, you know, it's infrastructure that has been delayed. And that was a design because, you know, there's been a lot of finds of oil in North Dakota and the Bakken. And then, of course, coming from Canada. So there's been a need to get these pipelines built so that you can move oil and gas around. And yet the Democratic Party is not for that. And they're not for using, you know, gas and oil. They want, just like water, they want to restrict it. They want to restrict the supply. And so, you know, but, you know, for everything that's been said, though, they're not starting Keystone back up again. I mean, we're going to have to get a new president for that. And, you know, maybe there'll be some hearings that Congress can hold an investigation on that. But look, the bottom line is they don't want pipelines built. They, the left, they don't want them built.
It's amazing to see what this new Congress is doing. Not only are they, you know, getting that information out there about Keystone, but they're also pushing a couple of bills, one that would do away with favored nation trade status with China, you know, and since that happened, there have been like 5 to 7 million jobs just completely eliminated from the United States economy. It's gone. 50,000 manufacturing plants gone. This is bold stuff. And, you know, whether it's going to pass or not, highly doubtful. But, I mean, come on. This is stuff that should have been done ages ago. Agree or disagree?
Well, look, I think you saw that, you know, the Trump administration, of all the things that that President Trump really believes, you know, with all the, you know, he doesn't get credit for this, but something that's in his core is he doesn't like seeing those empty production facilities, manufacturing plants that you see all through the Rust Belt. I think that's something that impacted him from, you know, a young businessman. He watched that all happen. And, you know, you can go back and there's just, you know, in multiple interviews starting in the 1980s that he gave about how crazy this was to let our manufacturing go overseas. And now, you know, we're paying the price for that. Yeah. In that, you know, we have a chip shortage. Why? Because we were relying on China and Taiwan, and now China's trying to choke off Taiwan. And, you know, now it takes billions and billions of dollars of investment and takes years to build. So, you know, they're trying to get that chip manufacturing capacity back in the U.S. That's just one example. But as you and everyone know, we totally rely on computers now. And if we don't have the ability to produce the basic components of computers in this country, and we're going to rely on a place like China, who is our outspoken declared adversary, that they want to take over the world's, being the world's reserve currency and being the world's global power. Look, I've always take them at their word. We should probably believe them.
Yeah.
And the best way to combat them is to get this manufacturing back to the United States.
And the sooner the better, you know, the sooner the better. Mm-hmm. We've got a situation too. There's another story last week that just blowing my mind. 1% of the entire U.S. population are now illegal aliens. 1%. That may sound like a lot, but I mean, it's huge. It's a big amount. And then we see polling now where it used to be, it was almost kind of 50-50 that people were for, evenly split, amnesty and giving illegal aliens citizenship. Now, I mean, every poll that's out there, it's less than 17% people who favor that stuff. You know, talk about handwriting being on the wall. I mean, the average Joe is now getting it. And they understand that, you know, all of these lies that Biden has been telling about how he visited, you know, the border during the campaign is complete crap. And they're not letting him get away with it. I mean, this guy's nose has got to be, you know, 300 yards long now.
Well, a good point, too, just like I translated for you on the CNN coverage of Adam Schiff. This is another good one for me to translate. The Democrats now are all of a sudden going to the border. You saw Biden go to the border. They're all talking about it. You've got the mayor of New York City that's making a big deal about it. And, you know, why is that? It's because they know the polling doesn't look good for them on this issue. It started to turn. Why is that? Because we've had a wide open border for 2 years. I mean, I went down there when I was still in Congress in 2021. Ray, you can't believe this. You just, I think I've told the story on your show before, but
You did.
We got some 80 some different countries that are coming in across the border. People from 80 different countries. And look, what's the number at now? Just, you know, 2 million from last year that they know about. And that doesn't include, you know, what we don't know about, which is probably much higher than that. So,
well, if you look at the terror watch list, I mean, during your boss's tenure of 4 years in the White House, there were 11 people that were nabbed at the border that were on the terror watch list. In just December alone of 2022, during the Biden administration, it's over 100 that have been nabbed on the terror watch list. I mean, come on, that's got to send some worry out there to somebody.
Well, Ray, think of the size and scope of this. Let's just use the number of 2 million. Okay, maybe we can all agree that 2 million came across the border last year illegally. And 2 million, Ray, that's the population of Fresno County, Tulare County, Kings County, Madera County, and I think you could only, at least those, maybe even throw Merced County in there. I mean, that's the equivalent of the people that have come across the border.
And with that,
it's a staggering number.
We do have to take a bit of a break here. We'll update some news. We'll come back with our guest, Devin Nunes, on KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Ladies and gentle people, civilian Devin Nunes joins us now on KMJ. Devin, to your knowledge, has your boss had any recent or active conversations with Elon Musk?
Not that I'm aware of. He hasn't told me if he has. Musk was in the Capitol last week, I think, meeting with McCarthy. Obviously, we've been, both President Trump and I have been very, very supportive from the Truth Social perspective of him buying Twitter and opening it up. And obviously, there's been a lot of fruit that's come out of that. Most notably, these Twitter files have shed light on just last week, the fake fact checker groups and this group called Hamilton 68, where supposedly there was all these Russian bot accounts. Ray, I'm sure, how many times did we get those ridiculous questions back in the day on KMJ with people would call up about that, as if the memo that I was putting back out in 2018, that was somehow being promoted by Russian bots on social media. So, we continue to be very supportive. We hope there's more sunlight showing on these Twitter files. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg because we have no idea what's going on behind the Facebook and Instagram curtain.
It's a real fiasco, I tell you. I ask because there's been a lot of noise about Donald Trump possibly showing up again on Twitter. And being forgiven and reinstated on Facebook and the like. And I'm like, why does he have to do that when he's got his own site, But that's neither here nor there. Phone calls, though, getting back to immigration a little bit. Gabriel, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All I wanted to comment on this immigration issue is we have to start holding other countries accountable. In this country, you have to have a Social Security number. All these people that are coming over should have some kind of documentation, and we should hold other countries accountable and help them share in the cost. It's like we're afraid of these countries. We don't do anything about it, and they don't either. So there has to be something done on that front. We need to hold countries that are allowing this immigration to come through, allowing these immigrants to come through, they have to share in the responsibility too, because I don't think we're ever going to stop it. It's going to continue until we start holding countries accountable, charging them, putting a dollar price on this. For every immigrant that comes here illegally without a social, whatever they use to document, you're going to be fined and we're going to collect that money. Otherwise, it's just going to continue forever and we're never going to stop it, because people want to come here. They want to work, understandably. But if we don't hold countries accountable that are allowing it, it's never going to stop.
It's an interesting point. What do you think, Devin? Huh?
Well, look, the one thing that needs to be done is there's a real necessity for a wall down there on the border. Where the walls are, the walls work. It's not going to stop at 100%, but then the way that you the way that you stop, and the caller was kind of getting to this, you know, and its tracks, is that you put in a system that works. And that's been the problem, is that the Congress, you know, and I was there for a long time, you know, the American people won't go for any type of new system, new immigration system, if the flow is not stopped. And what's happened here is the flow has been just that now you have a complete open border. Remember, this is being caused by policy change. So if you show up at the border with a young kid, you can essentially claim asylum. And that's what's happening here, is you have the, when I was down at the border a couple of times in 2021, you know, you had a group of, it would be the whole family that would show up. And as long as you were there with little kids, they'd have to process. You just walk right through. They're not, this isn't like they're sneaking across. They're walking right into a processing center, being put onto a bus of being processed and then let go. And so, you know, until there is until the American people have confidence that the border is secured, then you can work on putting in a system where, you know, you can have, you know, some type of guest worker program of some kind.
Amen. There was nothing wrong with the Braceros program. It wasn't broken. It didn't need fixing. And that's when this whole thing really began to fall apart. And it's a shame, a big shame. Here in California, I just had the story about, since 2015, we've had over 1 million individuals lawfully, they're illegal aliens, but over 1 million have been able to grab a driver's license. I mean, we keep doing all of these things to entice these people to come, yet we have a president that's deathly afraid of doing anything down there, and then he wants to blame the whole thing on us, on the conservative side, on the Republican side. You know, I have to agree with the caller that was just on, Gabriel, that this just looks like it's going to go on forever.
It does. And remember, you know, President Trump actually did hold those countries accountable. You know, he forced Mexico to help secure the border. I mean, that's the real key. If you look at the Canadian border, you know, the U.S., I try going across the Canadian border. It's not easy. I've tried it before. They're on you. And so if you have both sides of the border actually working together, you know, it helps to secure it. And so, you know, that was happening. And now it's not. I mean, basically, the Mexican government's not doing anything because, you know, Biden's not forcing them to.
You know, I worry a lot about our national security. With Biden being as weak as he is, the way that we got out of Afghanistan, which was so sloppy, you know, and now we've got two individuals, one retired in the military, Lieutenant Colonel, and the other who's the General of the Air Force. You know, one's predicting war with China, inevitable, he says, by 2025. The retired lieutenant colonel from the Army says, we're going to go nuke. We're going to go nuke with Russia. I mean, you are the chairman of the Intel Committee. That's got to send a little something up your spine that makes you a little bit nervous when you have big brass like that talking so frankly.
Well, let's take the easier challenge, which is the Russia one first. This is a nightmare in the making. All focus should be put on solving this problem. You know, Putin is, as you well know, I was the one warning about Putin long before it was in vogue. Spent a lot of time in Eastern Europe. Putin has been a problem for a long time. If you take, you know, Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, they all had the same policy, which was, oh, we're going to have resets. We're going to talk to them. We're going to work this out. And of course, you know, Putin only understands one thing, and that's force. And if you notice, during 4 years of Trump, he didn't do anything because he knew that Trump wouldn't mess around. But at the same time, what Trump was calling for is, look, we need to have dialogue. We need to try to be friends with these guys, but you're not just going to march all over us. And what Putin constantly was able to get the left to do is, and I would even say George W. Bush, is they would always, you know, concede on points, whether it was missile defense or, you know, operations around the globe that the Russians were doing. And, you know, now with the situation in Ukraine, I do believe that Putin's losing his mind a little bit. He doesn't seem like he was the same guy as he was before.
Yeah, very sick man.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something doesn't seem right. And, you know, I didn't think that he'd be crazy enough to invade Ukraine, but he did. And instead of just, you know, putting all focus on, you know, immediate peace talks. I mean, that should be the rhetoric every day. But instead, I mean, they're like, you know, a year ago, Biden was saying he wasn't going to send any tanks to Russia. Now he says he's going to send tanks to Russia.
Yeah.
And as that goes forward, I mean, the likelihood of this breaking out into a larger conflict increase, especially with somebody who's unstable like Putin. Well, and I guess you could say unstable like Biden at the same time.
Devin, hold on. We got to take the final break. We'll come back and wrap it up with you. I know you have to be on your way shortly. Devin Nunes is with us on KMJ. There are a couple of callers standing by. Time allowing, we'll get to you after the break. You just got to hit it as quick as you can, and that way we'll get you on. So we'll be right back. This is KMJ. Don't move.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJnow.com.
It's free.
Devin Nunes is with us on KMJ. We've got some phone calls, so we'll get to those real quick. Bobby, you're on the air. Go ahead. What's shaking?
Okay, right quick.
Bobby, we lose you?
Hello?
Yeah. You're breaking up real bad.
I'm here.
All right.
Oh, okay. Since we're talking.
All right, Bobby. Ain't going to work. You're breaking up. I don't know if you're driving or what, but if you are driving, drive a little bit, you know, farther down the road and call back. Devin, when it comes to things that you look at from afar now as a citizen, what is it that worries you the most about the future of America? Is it the economy? Is it our security? Is it water? Is there one thing as a civilian you're looking at and going, oh, my God, I wish we could have taken care of that while I was still there?
Well, there's a lot of things that I wish we could take care of, but probably at the top of my list would be the degradation of the Department of Justice and the two-tiered justice system, where you have the Republicans who are constantly being treated differently than Democrats. And, you know, we could go into a host of examples, but probably the one right in front of us is, you know, a raid on Mar-a-Lago, the president, with these, you know, classified documents.
Well, that was the last thing I wanted you to address.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, which was ridiculous. And then now you've got these unexplainable five different locations of Biden documents that make no sense. You know, that's just one of many examples. And then how do these special prosecutors, you know one hates Trump, the one that's investigating Trump, and then you know the other one is also a Trump hater, a guy who was a Russia hoaxer, the one that's investigating Biden. Like, how does this continue to happen? And, you know, that's what I know Jim Jordan and Speaker McCarthy are going to try to get to the bottom of with their committee. It's, you know, kind of modeled after the old church committee, which was something that I had called for before the election. But that's got to be solved, because without a fair justice system, the whole country breaks down. And then I would say, secondly, the you know, kind of big trend that I'm watching is that, you know, you have the red states continue to get redder. I mean, I spend a lot of time in Florida now, where Truth Social is headquartered. And Ray, I'll tell you, I mean, it's like night and day. You know, I got to go out, and you know, Florida's a pretty nice place for weather. It's a nice place if you're going to be living outside, if you're homeless, not a bad place to be in terms of weather. But I'll tell you, I got to go, you know, hunt for homeless people. You know, if you were, you know, they're there, but you don't see them everywhere. And, you know, now it doesn't matter what city you are in the valley. Where, you know, I mean, 6-7 years ago, you know, we had some homeless encampments in the city of Fresno, but you didn't see too many in the rest of the valley. And now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in, you know, Tulare. I don't know if you've been in Tulare lately, Ray, but
not lately.
I mean, there's just tents lined up all along the railroad track, all through downtown Tulare. It's a disaster, and there's no end in sight. I mean, it's saying something when you can basically bring. You can get a U-Haul trailer for free if you're coming to California. And then you're going to pay the highest rate if you're taking a U-Haul out of California.
Out of California, exactly. That's amazing.
It's a bad, bad trend and a dangerous trend. I mean, California, this will be the third year in a row, despite we were talking about all the people who have come across the border illegally into the millions, but California is going to lose population for the third year in a row. a big net time. Loss in population.
Big time.
And then you, and then I was driving around, you know, the other day, just, you know, I went out to Kings County. I was out in Lemoore and seeing the, you know, the Greek ruins that are out there in Hanford, you know, these, this high speed rail. I mean, this is just continues. And meanwhile, we've got
Greek ruins.
And meanwhile, you've got the Highway 99 is getting worse and worse, you know, by the day. And that's despite the population decline and despite all the work that, and all the money that I got put into that over the years that I was in Congress. And yet the projects don't get completed.
Devin, I mean, I'm down to a minute and a half, and I know you have to get out at 1 o'clock. Just a quick update on Truth Social. You still happy? You still content with this?
Absolutely. I mean, we're, you know, we finally got on the Google Play Store, and so now we're available on all devices. We're slowly opening up around the globe.
Good.
And you know, we're continuing to build out features. I mean, the next big feature, we'll have a big update for Android with what's called a native app. So the native app will, it'll be much better, work more efficiently, much like the Apple app does, which works flawlessly. And then we're going to build out groups. So soon you'll be able to, similar to like Facebook or Reddit, you'll be able to join groups on True Social. So now's the time to join. Get on there and get your account. We continue to grow, and it's a lot of fun. It's a nice, I'd say it's a nice family-friendly, clean environment, easy to use.
Well, we need to get together with the Greeks, the wild-eyed Greeks, and make a cameo appearance at Crawdaddy's down there in your neck of the woods. We'll have to do that in the near future.
You know, I'm ready to go when you are. You just you tell me the day, and if I can make it, I'll be there.
We'll put it together, and I'll let you know. We're overdue. So, great talking to you. Thanks for the time today, and you stay safe, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, Ray. Great to be with you and the KMJ audience, as always.
All right. Take care, my friend. Bye.
Thank you.
Devin Nunes on KMJ. Civilian Devin Nunes. So many things going on now, you know, with, you know, Kevin McCarthy getting rid of those two individuals on the Intel Committee. We had to talk about that because that's where Devin made his home for so long. Chairman of the Intel Committee, of course. And now that, you know, he was, Mr. Schiff took his place. The story that he alluded to about this group, I forget what they're called, but I talked about them the other day. They want Schiff out of there. They're Democrats because they say he's not progressive enough. And they know the story. And I had to, you know, remind you before the winds were blowing progressive, progressive, progressive for Adam Schiff. He was a blue dog. He was a blue dog Democrat. He was a very conservative Democrat. He on occasion would even vote with the Republicans. But now when the winds blew progressive, yes, that's what he has to be. But this group caught him on it. And that's why they're supporting Katie Porter for this seat that's probably going to be vacated by Dianne Feinstein. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. But Devin is right. He has nowhere to go. He's got nothing to do. There's no committees. There's no nothing. He's just going to sit on his hands and in Congress and look stupid, which is real easy for him to do. Very easy. Coming up, I want you to meet a friend of mine. We're going to shift gears quite a bit. And we're going to talk to an individual who makes his living on the road with a major rock band as a, I don't know if roadie is a bad word. He's a technician. You know, roadie I always thought was a great word to be revered. I was one once way back. His name is Marco, and he'll join us shortly on KMJ. Stay put. It's going to be fun.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.